Welcome back, cowboys and cowgirls, to the Ingles and Ian podcast, a cowboysrideforfree.com show. And as always, your good friend of mine, the Oppenheimer of optimism, Mr. Ian. How are you doing today, buddy?
Doing good. We just got a few short days until potentially the biggest game in OSU history occurs. So, I mean, this game is looking like a barn burner once again.
So, I mean, you bring that up, maybe the biggest game in OSU history. Where does this rank with the 2011 Fiesta Bowl?
I think at that point, because they had nothing to play for, right? They were just playing for a Fiesta Bowl, and they were just trying to be like, hey, we should have been in the BCS National Championship, and it really didn't matter because Alabama ended up winning it. So, I mean, that Fiesta Bowl is a very important win, but if they win this game and win their second ever Big 12 championship, that surpasses it. And then the playoff game would surpass it. And then if they win that game, that would surpass it.
Yeah. I mean, it is, I mean, this game is monumentous in Oklahoma State history. We're looking at, and I don't want to take anything away from Cincy. I don't. But schedule versus schedule, game versus game. If we win, and even if Bama wins and somehow secures their spot in the Natty or in the CFP, we should be in. We should jump Cincy regardless, because our schedule is better than theirs. And I don't want to take away from him because since he's a great team, but man, I think we should be in no matter what, if we win. And that's the big thing, if, which is the biggest word in sports.
Well, Cincy has been a really good team all year. They've had bumps in the road, but so is OSU. Mm-hmm. They have something that OSU doesn't have, and that is an undefeated record. I think that has to matter. With this win against Houston, if they beat Houston, which is no tough task, I think you can make a case for Oklahoma State. I said this earlier in the week, them jumping Cincinnati at 3. But if Alabama wins, I kind of think that Cincinnati would be ahead, just because maybe the committee doesn't want to deal with the backlash of letting Cincinnati out. So I don't know where that goes, and I don't think Alabama is going to win. I think Georgia's going to handle Alabama easily, so I don't think that's going to be a problem in the slightest.
Well, I hope you're right, but, I mean, this season being this season, who knows? And it's, I mean, it's Nick Saban. It's like betting against Belichick. Like, you just don't do it.
I put in my, like, Nichols picks on Twitter. I have Georgia minus 6.5. This is a different Bama team compared to years past. I know you could say, oh, what about Saban? Saban and Belichick have lost before. There's no – Georgia is far and away the better team. We saw Bama struggle against Auburn, struggle against LSU, struggle against Arkansas. They are not the Bama that everyone expects Bama to be. They're a not as good Bama team. They're a good team. They are not a good Bama team.
Yeah, I've got a friend who is a department head at Auburn, and I was tweeting him during the game like, "What are you doing? Please beat Bama so I don't have to worry about this anymore." Like, I was so hoping Auburn would just, like, in this whole speculation, and everyone, like, I've been seeing all day on Twitter, multiple people are like, how much does OSU have to win by to get into the CFP if Bama loses? And the answer is they just got to lose. But there are a lot of people who are like pounding that drum, like, even if Bama loses, they should be in. And I'm over it.
I think simply if they lose, regardless of the point total, they are not getting in. They shouldn't be in. They have not been one of the best four teams all year. And they have no conference championship to back that up with.
I agree.
Even if they lose, you still have Notre Dame there. I think Notre Dame would get in over Alabama at that point. So, but I don't think it's going to get to that point.
I hope so. So let's get to the game. Rematch, Baylor, Oklahoma State. I don't know how to feel. I mean, you know me. The mm-hmm. Rockets are burning on the hope ship. But I'm a little scared. I'm not going to lie. This is the first game I've rolled into where I'm like, maybe we should pump the brakes a little bit. But I'm not going to do that. Because we're a better team than Baylor is. We just are. If you look at same competition, and so I crunched the numbers. So if you look at Oklahoma State versus the Big 12, Oklahoma State has scored 310 points and allowed 138. That's a point differential of 172. Baylor has scored 254 points and allowed 182 points. That's a differential of plus 72. If you look at points allowed, Oklahoma State has allowed almost 50 less points than Baylor has. And yeah, we've got the drop from Bedlam, you know, which is conceivable, right? The emotional drop for especially a lot of those older guys. But I also think that we played one of our worst games in Bedlam because of the emotion. And I really think that the defense is going to be very, very zen, is the right word, that they're just going to be like, all right, let's go do this. Because if we win, we get a month off. Like all they got, like they don't have to like save anything for the next game because they're going to have a month off until they play whoever, whenever, even if somehow we win and we don't go to the CFP, we're in a New Year's Six Bowl, which is basically a month away. They don't have to reserve anything, but they can also just go and just be themselves. And if they are just themselves this game, they're going to do what they did last time and only give up 14 points.
I mean, win or lose, they get a month off. So I feel a good amount of confidence going into this game, not like an inappropriate amount. We're like, oh, we're going to crush them. We know how we match up. We know how the Cowboys match up against the Bears. And if you have a quarterback who played his worst game of the year against Baylor, A, you can only go up from there. But you're also a little worried that maybe they have his number. Who knows? I don't think they do. If this was Iowa State, I'd be worried because that's who they lost to. But because it's a team who you already beat at home and your quarterback had the worst performance of the season there, and you know that he's improved throughout the last couple of months, I'm not that worried about it.
The other thing that interests me is like this was an early game in the conference slate.
Mm-hmm.
The first weekend of October. So it's been 2 months. It's not like we played them 3 weeks ago, right? So I don't think the defense or the offense would be like, oh, this is the same Baylor team we played. Like it's been a while, which I think is a good thing, a real good thing. But you were saying like Spencer was 13 for 23, 182 yards, one TD and three picks. But he also ran for 76 yards. So, I mean, that is a positive for us that, you know, Spencer has been more active on the ground the last couple of games. So maybe he doesn't have to do so much.
I mean, I'll clarify. I mean, his worst game passing. But also we've seen a very significant lack in production from Jaylen Warren from that Baylor game to currently. He had 125 yards and two touchdowns in that Baylor game. And he was kind of one of the key cogs in the offense. Now, I mean, last week he had just 56 yards on 19 carries. So they could spread out the ball, potentially give it to Tay Martin, who had a good game against them, and 6 receptions, 110 yards. And I'm not worried about the defense at all. And Gary Bohannon is hurt at the moment, uncertain to play because of a hamstring injury. So I don't know. I haven't seen anything out of Baylor that he is or isn't playing. It's just unknown at the moment.
The other thing with Warren is that was his most attempts on the year, was 36 attempts. And we won't see that. Well, we might see 20 out of him. I'm guessing that somewhere in the 17-20 range for him. And I think that's enough. And hopefully that is enough. But, you know, their defense is good. It's rather good, but it's not incredible. And I think our offense has gotten a whole lot better since October 2nd.
Yeah. I mean, after that Baylor game, they've kind of limped, only won 24-27 against Texas Tech on a missed field goal. And then they only beat Kansas State 20-10. So they've been in pretty close. They had a really bad game against TCU. They have a bunch of impressive wins at the beginning of the year. That Iowa State win looked really impressive. BYU, that was a really, really good win. But, I mean, since that Texas game, you have the OU win. But other than that, I mean, you have wins, but it's nothing really to write home about. And, you know, I'll take a look at their backup stats. I mean, I think his name is Sharpen. I mean, he two touchdowns, 39-58, 416 yards on the year, against Tech, 20-34, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 1 sack. And that Baylor offensive line, I mean, they've been holding up. They've been holding up against Tech and Kansas State, but again, this is a much different defense than what he's seen. So whether it's Bohannon or whether it's Sharpen, defense should be fine.
Yeah, and so I'm looking at the stats here. So on the year, Bohannon is averaging 4.4 yards an attempt on the ground. And against OSU, he did 1.7. And if it is Chopin, you say his name, we know what this defense does to young, inexperienced quarterback. Like if it comes out that Chopin is the quarterback, you know, you take the points the moment that news comes out, because that line will probably jump by 3.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I think you take the points regardless. Whether or not it'll be a closer game if Bohannon plays, but I still think then it's a 7-10 point ball game if Bohannon plays, based off what we've seen and based off how Oakland State has improved since that game.
Ladies and gentlemen, there it is. Ian on the hope train saying the Cowboys will actually cover. I think for the first time this year.
I've been saying they're cover. I've been the one saying that Oklahoma State has been, they're 9-2-1 against the spread. They tied last week. So they haven't lost a cover until week 2. I think they said they would cover against Texas Tech. I said they lose to OU. Granted, it was OU. I think I said they might have covered against West Virginia. I don't know. I feel like you're giving me a lot less credit. I know I've been pessimistic, but come on. I've said they've covered, I think. I'm sure.
Well, I mean, there's been a couple of games where we both are like, oh, they're not going to cover that spread, i.e. Kansas at plus 33 or minus 33, yeah. Whatever it was.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how I feel about this game. I hate the rematch because, you know, it's hard to win twice. You know, but, you know, the 2 months off, it's not like we just smoked Baylor 2 weeks ago, or they were, because that Baylor game was closer than it should have been. Spencer threw 3 picks. You know, it's not like they're still chomping the bit of, oh, we were so close, right? It's been 2 months. They've played 8 games since then. So I don't know how to feel about this game. I think, well, I know we should win. I think we will win, but rematches are always hard. And that is not something that's built into football in general. In the NFL, you play the same team twice and very rarely in the playoffs. In college football, you rarely ever play the same team twice, ever. So I worry about that. But I also know that Knowles is going to be like, hey, boys, this is a different team. That was 2 months ago. They played a lot of games. They played really well. And Baylor, for the most part, has played really well the last couple of months. So I don't know how to feel. I mean, this is the first game where I'm like not full speed ahead on the Hope rocket ship.
Again, I've never been full speed on the rocket ship, but I'm kind of like, okay, we're going. I'm in a Hope car, and I'm driving like 45 miles an hour
on the turnpike.
That's where I am right now. I mean, I'm confident they'll win. If they don't, it is what it is. I mean, obviously, you want to see them win, but the worst case scenario for them is the Fiesta Bowl. So, I mean, again, they're gonna have to, you know, get after it. Just go all out. Because Oklahoma State held them to 280 yards, and 55 of those yards was one rushing play for a touchdown. That was it. And you also need to dominate the time of possession. Against Baylor in October, they held the ball for 34 minutes. Oklahoma State did, compared to Baylor's 25. The less you keep your defense on the field, I think the better it is for Oklahoma State. So
one of the weird things that worries me about this game is we have played a lot of night games. And we've played a lot of night games in a row in like 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5 at night. And the 11 o'clock kickoff scares me just because it's out of the routine. These guys have gotten into a very good routine because the games have basically been the same time every day. And that worries me a lot just because routine's important. But this is an old team, and the old team probably knows what to do, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
I mean, it's not like they haven't played night games or 11 a.m. games all year, excuse me. They played Tulsa at 11. They played Texas at 11. I mean, those are the
– Yeah, but Texas was those like –
the only two.
Texas was in the middle of October. It's December.
Yeah, but they're veteran enough that it's going to be fine. I don't think that a lot of coaches worry about that. I know they played a bunch of night games, but I don't think that matters. I mean, Baylor, I mean, you want to say they have an advantage. They played – an 11 a.m. game last week. As
I'm not saying it's an advantage for Baylor. I'm just saying it could be a disadvantage for Oklahoma State. And that is the one thing that worries me, just because like we're coming off of this giant Bedlam win, right? All these seniors no one on that roster has beat Oklahoma. And now we've got to wake up early and go beat Baylor to get into potentially the CFP. And that is massive. I mean, this game is arguably bigger than Bedlam.
Oh yeah. The stakes are much higher. Cause you already clinched a spot at that point. My point is, I mean, this has been scheduled for noon since September. So everybody knew going into this game. Yeah. This game's going to be at 11. Honestly, that can't be an excuse because you've known about it. You've played 11 a.m. games before. I know the muscle memory might not be there, but when you have such a young, such a veteran-led team, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, I really think so, and I hope so. But it's just one of those things that in the back of my mind is like, well, what about this? You know, because like this is arguably – the biggest game I have ever watched as an Oklahoma State fan.
Yeah, because there is a lot at stake here. I think a win in either Cincinnati, Alabama, or Michigan loss gets you into the playoff. So, yeah, there is a lot at stake here. And for Baylor, I mean, I would say there's a lot at stake, but but they dropped last week to ninth. And I don't know if there's,
which I was shocked by. I saw Baylor at nine. I thought they'd move up a spot, but I mean, maybe with the QB being out, they dropped them. And
Ole Miss is, I was kind of impressed with Ole Miss beating Mississippi State. I didn't think that would happen. So, I mean, whatever. I mean, they already have two losses, so I don't think they'll get in the playoff if they win because they have two losses. Same with Alabama. Right. Barring just a cataclysmic meltdown of everybody up top where you would see like a Georgia, Iowa, Notre Dame, Baylor with all those champions. If that even happens, I don't think it's going to happen, but imagine the chaos that would bring. That just seems it's super unlikely. And usually the conference championship week is kind of chalk compared to, not saying that there isn't going to be an upset. I mean, there very well could be, but a lot of time it's chalk.
It is. And, you know, it in the last like 10 years, only like there's only been like three upsets or whatever, like some crazy stat like that. But I don't know. It's 2021, man. And like this entire year has been expect the unexpected. And I really hope by 3 o'clock Saturday, roughly 3 o'clock Saturday Central Time, that no matter what, I am toasting Oklahoma State, the Big 12 champion. And after that, I mean, if we get left out for some reason, if we are the Big 12 champion, I'm going to be upset. But for the most part, if at 3 o'clock I get to raise a glass and say Oklahoma State Big 12 champion, I don't care about anything else. I don't care where we get slotted, anything. I will be so happy because I never thought in a million years when we started this podcast, especially after that Tulsa game, which we barely won, and that Missouri State game and the Boise State mm-hmm. game, mm-hmm. after all of it, if you had told me after Boise State, this team will be playing in the Big 12 championship game, and if at 3 o'clock Saturday, I'm saying here's to the Big 12 champions, Oklahoma State, I would have laughed at you. And I mean, I'm almost just giddy we're here. I mean, this is yeah. amazing. Like this is why being a fan is important. You live through the down times, you live through the hard time, you live through the bad years, you live through Dax being your quarterback. There's so many things that have led up to this moment, and now we're here, and it is so satisfying as a fan. And you know, I can see it in Gundy, the way he approaches it, the way he talks about things, even in his news conferences. Like, you know, people talk about him, you know, it's the first time since 2011. He was in his seventh year then. He's in his 17th year now, and you can tell he understands it more now than then. And I love it. I love this team. I love the coaching staff. It is just awe-inspiring what they've done with a group of men who never should have been here in the first place, according to every poll, every pundit, every quote unquote expert. They never should have been here. And here we are. And this is a win. No matter what happens on Saturday, this team has won. And those men can help hold their heads high no matter what happens on Saturday. And I'm thankful for it because it gives me a little self-pride going, that's my team.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
I lost connection. Sorry. I'm still here, right?
Yeah, you're back now. You're back now.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can say the same thing for Baylor as well. This is a win for them. They were projected to be 8th in the media poll. Nobody expected Baylor to be here at number 9 in the country, 10-2. I mean, I think for both teams, I think it is a win. I think absolutely it's a win. But, I mean, now that you are here, I mean, you got to get the job done. You got to get the job done. And either way, it's been a heck of a season. It's been a heck of a ride. This has been one of my favorite teams to watch ever. This team has made me love the defensive side of the ball, straight up. This team and last year's team, they both made me love the defensive side of the ball. And I mean, through that's how they are where they are today. Yeah. And it's a lot of that is a credit to Jim Knowles and that staff and the way that Oklahoma State has changed their perspective from, you know, they were like the air raid team, right? Like all the Big 12, it's all they do is not play defense. All they do is score 50. Well, Oklahoma State has changed that narrative for themselves. They only allow 16.4 points per game, 276.3 yards allowed. I mean, their defense has not given up more than 24 points this year. And you're like, oh, wait, OU, that was 33. Well, those were not on the defense. That was a safety and then a special team snafu. So they still have only given up 24 points to a single team. And it's been fun. And the New Year's Six Bowl, 100% happening. I put in my going bowling article this week. Look, it's either sugar, which would be you win the Big 12 and you miss out, orange or cotton, depending on what the playoff does. And then if you lose to Baylor, it's the fiesta. All four of those games are super prestigious. So it's fine. Win or lose, I'm going to be okay. But obviously.
Do you have a player of the game or offense or defensive player of the game for this week?
I think it's going to be Malcolm again. I think it's absolutely going to be Malcolm again. I thought that he would win the defensive player of the year for the Big 12. He did not. I'm surprised, and I haven't checked the other guy's statistics. So, I mean, maybe he had a better year. Who knows? But I thought for sure Malcolm's going to win it. So I think that might motivate him. I think Devin Harper. Those two linebackers, because Oklahoma State runs a 4-2-5, don't they? Yep. Where it's Malcolm and Devin. So I think those would be the two guys like last week.
And this is their last shot. I mean, both are done after this year. They run out of eligibility. So,
yep, I think it'll be those two. Those are my two players.
I tend to agree with Malcolm. I think on the offensive side of the ball, I think Spencer has a bit of the monkey off his back. And I think he's going to play a really clean game, throw for about 270 and rush for about 80, and just the thing we always talk about Spencer when he messes up. I think it's going to be one of those games where we don't really talk about him because he was just clean, did his job, put the ball where it needed to go, and that's it. And so I think he's going to be the offensive player of the game.
Okay.
Second runner up, especially after that muff punt, Presley's going to want to redeem himself. And I think he breaks a long touchdown. I think 50 yards of Spencer's 280 is going to come to a slant across the middle to Presley that he breaks for a touchdown.
Okay. Okay. I kind of dig it. So what's your score prediction?
Man, I don't know. I keep going back and forth. I think this is going to be similar to the first go around. I think it's going to be 28-14 ish Oklahoma State. Cause this defense is too good. And they just, I've started calling them in my head the boa constrictor because they just keep closing and closing. Unless you can step outside of it, you're eventually going to get swallowed up. That's what happened to OU. Yeah, they allowed points early, but they swallowed. And we've talked about it before where they seem a little shaky early, but they always just start to swallow. When they start playing patient and letting the secondary do their thing, and those the defensive line, the linebackers pushing and pursuing, and it's just it's this slow, relentless wave of pressure against the quarterback. And I believe they're going to do that again. And as long as they don't allow too many points early, they're not going to give up a ton of points to this Baylor team, which is not overly dynamic. I mean, it's nothing against Baylor. They're a really great team, but they're kind of like us. We don't put up a lot of points. They don't put up a lot of points in general.
Yeah, this feels very similar to the game in October. I'm thinking 31-21. I think that now that both offenses have film, I think they'll use that to their advantage. So I'll go.
And I will say my score prediction is saying a healthy Bohannon at quarterback for Baylor.
Yeah.
If it is the backup, all bets are off.
If it's the backup, I'll go 28-7. If it's the if it's Gary, I'll go 31-20. How about that?
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, again, like that's another hard part about this. It's like I'm trying to break down this game. I'm like, well, who's the quarterback? And we see what Oklahoma State has done to quarterbacks making their second or third start who aren't five stars, i.e. Caleb Williams. And even though we held them to 51% passing and basically did nothing in the second half besides that big chunk run he did late in the fourth quarter, which was scary as all get out. But beyond that, we have crushed young quarterbacks, and I expect nothing less out of this Jim Knowles defense.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. It's a game like any other game, and that's how you should treat it. I know it's the most important game, but if you're an Oklahoma State player, you just gotta be like, guys, this is just a game. You just play like a
That's what scares me the most about all of this is I'm like, it's just another game. And it's arguably the biggest game in Oklahoma State history. And I'm like, yeah, we're good. We're like, and that's in the back of my brain, I'm like, that's why you're gonna lose. I'm like, shut up. But you're gonna lose because you're like super chill about this game. I'm like, go to hell, little brain.
I think they would have lost already, you know, that's where I'm at. If they lose, it's whatever. I'm going to be okay. I think you're going to be okay. Maybe. That's honestly where I'm at. It
feels like, I mean, as a fan, yes, I want us to obviously win everything. Mm-hmm. And I think we have a chance to win literally everything this year, a legitimate chance. Vegas has us at 12-1 odds to win the Natty. That's a legitimate title shot at those odds at this time of year. And if we lose, it'll suck. It'll hurt. But it kind of feels like we're playing with house money right now. We're beyond where we ever thought we would be starting the season, where these players, I don't know. I don't know where these players thought they would be. I mean, knowing Gundy, he's like, look, this is our goal. We're going to achieve it. I feel like they've achieved it. And I feel like even more so than winning Bedlam, these players are going to be playing free because they know no matter what, they've won. And that's why that would be my message, you know, as a former basketball coach, you know, in high school, there was definitely games where I was like, look, girls, you've already won. Go out and play like it. And I feel like that's the message that these kids are going to hear. Actually, they're not even kids at this point. They're grown men. They're 23, 24 years old. They're older than you are.
Some of them are around my age. It is what it is. I'm looking at the odds now. Georgia is a -225 favorite to win the Natty. And Georgia's still there. So, yeah, I still think Georgia's going to win the Natty. And Alabama has the second best odds at 650.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma State to start the year was 100-1. And now I really wish I put money on him because I thought about it.
I think making playoff odds, I don't know what those were. That would have been something to take a look at. Those Natty odd things, like you got to strike them early. And yeah. So.
Oh, boy. Can't believe it's here. I can't believe football season's almost over. And, you know, we're going to get to basketball season soon. And like once football season's over, or actually once this game is over, because we're going to have a long layoff, we're going to get really into basketball and everything else, wrestling, all of that stuff. But man, we're here. It's a place we never thought we would be. And I am so excited about it. Like, I don't know. I may be in the stadium. I may not be in the stadium, but I'm going to be in Dallas regardless. And wherever I'm watching that game from, it's going to be a great time, no matter what. Win or lose, I'm stoked we're here. And we should win. We should win by a good amount. And I'm just stoked to be here. I mean, the Hope rocket ship is going full steam. We're going to hit the CFP. We're going the Natty game.
Knock on wood. Knock on wood.
Lose to Georgia by 20, but I don't care.
Knock on wood. Knock on wood. Knock on wood. I don't even want to get there yet. Just focusing on this game.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's going to be a good game. Well, here's what I'm going to say. I think it's going to be a good competitive game, but I really hope it's not. I really hope this game is over by halftime and I don't have to worry about it and I can just be happy. That's all I want.
Because that'll, that'll help with odds. I mean, like for getting up higher and potentially jumping Cincinnati. So, I mean, obviously you probably want to blow out just to make it, but I really, really think if Cincy has a bad game, then they will jump Cincinnati.
Well, and like I said, like the thing is, you don't have to save players. You don't want to hurt them, obviously, but you don't have to save them, right? Like it's going to be a month, which I think may or may not. Well, it's always hurt Oklahoma State in the past, but maybe not with this kind of offense and especially this defense. But you don't have to save them. You can push them. Obviously, if you're up a lot, you're going to pull them so you don't hurt them. But, I mean, you don't have to worry about, oh, there's another game next week, because there's not. There's not a game for a month.
You have until New Year's Day or New Year's Eve to get ready. And that works for me.
Agreed. Is there anything else you want to hit before we close out the show, Mr. Ian?
Nah. There is not. Just going to roll on into Saturday with, I don't even know. Just we'll see.
We will see. So Cowboys and Cowgirls, happy holidays. And we will see you on Monday, hopefully after a Oklahoma State win.